Good evening, dear listener. You're now listening to the Pacifica Audit Committee for October 22nd, 2013. This is Fred Blair, the chair of the committee, speaking. Our recording secretary is Margie Wilkinson. We are now live. Let me bring up the my tentative agenda. Okay, so Margie, you want to call the roll?
Sure. Carolyn Burden. Fred Blair.
Present.
Jane Gatewood.
Present.
Donald Goldmacher. William Herwagen.
Present.
Nancy Henschel. Melinda Ely Doan. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Lucette King. Janet Cobran.
Here.
Frank Lefever. Robert Mark. Brenda Medina.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
And I am present. So that's eight, so we have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Margie. Well, I haven't really sent out an agenda this evening, so I have something tentative. Margie, did you send out the minutes for either August 27th or September 24th?
I didn't. I've somehow temporarily, I'm sure it's just temporary, but I've lost the file where I had the minutes. I don't know what I've done with it, but I will find it and I will send you the minutes.
I think we'll probably have to postpone that for the next meeting. So I'm just going to follow my tentative agenda. So our next official meeting is November 26th, Tuesday, November 26th. I assume that there's not going to be any problem with that. I've got a confirmed notice from our auditor that he will definitely be on that meeting. People, please prepare for that. Okay. At this point, my agenda sort of runs out. I don't really have a lot that I can talk about. I guess I should have, I have talked for about a half hour with our auditor today, and he has not finished the management letter at this point. It's almost finished. It's in final draft, and tentatively, he's going to send it to the CFO and the ED for error checking, and then we shall probably get it around November 1st. So we will have most of the month of November to go over that. And that's about all I can really speak about on the open stream.
Chair.
Sure. That's Lawrence,
Janet.
Right?
Janet.
Okay.
Sack.
Should I go?
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on. Anybody else? Lawrence, you've got it.
Okay, thank you. So the management letter is being worked on. How about the other two letters, the letter on the internal controls and the other observation letter as well? Is that going to be part of the packet before we actually start discussing this? Because I don't feel comfortable going into executive session without having been able to have the opportunity to study those items.
Well, I was told that I'm assuming that that's part of the package. What was the third document you were referring to?
The observations letter.
Well, I think that's really
the observations letter. Is that part of the management letter as well?
I think that is part of the management letter, yes, we should be getting those about around November 1st. That will be before the board meeting in Houston. I did ask him about, he told me a few weeks ago that this meeting tonight, it was too soon for him to finish up the management letter and to have a a meeting with us to go over it. So, and I found out today that the two proposed dates before the Houston meeting, September 29th and November 5th, he has board meetings, so he can't. Either of those dates are out for him.
Okay.
So that, I mean,
that's a reasonable explanation for me. Thank you. Appreciate
Campbell
that.
Campbell Forstack.
Okay, Campbell. The other thing is that people realize that we can spend a short time when we're on our November 26th meeting with the auditor. We can spend a short time in public session, but most of that meeting going over the management letter because of the confidentiality of the management letter and the topics covered there will have to be done in executive session. So most of the November 26th meeting will have to be an executive session. Okay, Janet, you have the floor.
Okay, so three things, I guess. Well, one, the letters, there are three of them, from what I understand, and I don't know whether you're referring when you say the management letter that you're talking about all three. That's one thing. Do you want to...
Well, people were referring to three letters. That may be the logical division. I don't know if the material is in the management, what he calls the management letter is, covers both those subject areas. I'm trying to bring up.
Jane Gatewood.
Yeah. But what I recall was that he was the one who listed the three letters, and that's the notes I took, and then I posted them to the list that these are the letters and et cetera. In any case, so that's something to check into. The second thing is, do you have any update on the CPB grant, the status? And that would not come from him, I assume. That would come from Summer. And then the third is, I thought that we had either tentatively or we scheduled another meeting, or we were looking into meeting again on the either October 29th or November 5th, and was that with the auditor? Is that what that was going to be about? And if so, I'm assuming he won't be able to do those, so would the next time that we meet would be November 26th and not before? Is that true?
That's correct, Janet. He sent me an email that he's got commitments already for the for October 29th and November 5th. That's my understanding. And I brought up Janet's email, and I really don't know. You refer to a letter of internal controls, 115 letter. Maybe that's a form, some kind of a form letter, and the other one's observation letter. I can try and contact the auditor tomorrow and find out more details what the package will consist of.
Okay.
If people would like that.
And then the CPB.
Okay, I'll say a little something about the CPB. I want to speak more about that tonight in executive session. My understanding is the CPB money has not gone out so far. I was at KPFK all day yesterday, and I talked to our business agent over there, and they have not received the CPB money. And I'll say something more in executive session what the auditor told me about that. Okay, Campbell, you have the floor.
First thing, a little bit, I'm unfamiliar with there being such a thing as an observations letter. I'm familiar with a management letter, but I'm not familiar with an observations letter. And maybe that's something new that AICPA has come out with, but that I'm not familiar with. And I think that any additional correspondence other than the audit itself, certain, and in fact, all correspondence from the auditor, I think, should come to the audit committee first. I'm rather troubled about I'm not familiar with it being something that goes to staff first before it comes to the audit committee. And I think that this is part of what Sarbanes-Oxley was trying to accomplish in terms of being able to provide serious oversight for corporations, both for-profit and non-profit. The kinds of things that are, that's why in the audit committee you don't have people who are also members of other committees on a board. So I'm rather very much concerned about this notion of having the management letter go to staff first.
Lawrence, back.
Okay, thank you. I've got you, Lawrence. Jane, you have the stack.
I should have put a question mark at the end of that. Do you have any familiarity with why this is going to the IED and CFO before it comes to the audit committee?
Basically, the auditor said he just wanted them to do an error check on, factual statements that he makes in the management letter. They don't have the right of editing the letter. All he's concerned about is not making any factual errors on his part. So, you are correct. The auditor basically reports to the audit committee and not to the executive managers.
Yes, I have to just comment that this notion of having factual errors. I mean, the sun is up, the light is on, or the light is off. I mean, these are facts that I don't think the CFO or IED would have a better understanding of. And if there's something in terms of a disparity between the observations of the auditor in regard to the operations of this entity, Pacifica, I think that it would be something that would be good for us to be able to note and to identify that, the auditor saw one thing, whereas in reality something else exists. I think that difference is something for the audit committee to be aware of, and it can be somehow adjusted or something like that, but I think that we should be getting this, without an edit by the, or close to an edit, error check, I mean, whatever you call it, from the CFO and IED.
Your comments are noted, Campbell.
Okay.
Jane, I think you have the floor.
Yeah, Fred, I just wanted to ask that you communicate directly with Paul our specific question. Just let him know, first of all, that in our last meeting with him, we took note that there were three letters he intended to provide. Please verify if we understood this correctly. So that way we get a straight answer. So that's
I will try and clarify that.
I would just, if you could, just put it to him just like that. Let him know these are the three letters that we took notes of, and we may have misunderstood. And if so, if you could just let us know so we'd be clear about what to expect. And then on this matter that Campbell is bringing attention to, perhaps when we're done with the evening, that could also be a little clarification on that, too.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you, Jane.
It just occurred to me that the concern could be transmitted in the same communication, just so that it's noted, So, for example, if, like the example that Campbell just gave, that if the auditor observed one thing and the staff provided with him a correction which is not quite consistent with what he observed, that we would anticipate that that would be something that he would bring to our attention when we meet with him. That's all. I'm done.
Both Jane and Campbell, your concerns are noted, and I will convey that to the auditor when I either talk to him or email him tomorrow. Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you. I share Campbell's concerns here. Just following a logical pattern, it seems that it's very reasonable for the auditor first of all, not only necessarily send the drafts before it is finalized to the executive management, but to also send it to the committee in draft form, noting that it's only a draft and not a final product, in order for us to be part of that process, unfettered process. This is one of the reasons I voted against the audit, not because I'm against the CPB money coming to the stations. It's because of the process that I feel very uncomfortable with, because of executive management having their hands and their eyes on everything without the audit committee as well having the opportunity to also engage in that same process. So, I share Campbell's concerns. And I believe that before that that draft gets sent for an error check, which kind of perplexes me, that it would also come to the committee in draft form, so we could also peruse it. This way, when management does make those changes, if there are going to be any changes, we could also follow the logical pattern as to why those changes were made, and also have that information available to us so we can make a judgment. Thank you.
Okay. I will convey that. Okay, William, hold on a second.
Sure.
I'd like to answer Lawrence and Jane and Campbell. I will convey your concern and see if we can get Lawrence. I'll convey your concern to the auditor and see if we can get a draft copy before the final version is sent to us. One thing I will note is that when the auditor meets with us on our next regular meeting, he will be meeting with us alone without management. But that's also a recommendation of the Audit Committee standards that is issued by the American Association of CPAs. I sent out the Audit Committee kit to everybody, I think, last month. Did people get that, by the way?
I did. I got it.
I did. Yes.
I don't recall.
And in any case...
Angel, here,
please. Hi, Angel.
Okay. Hello.
Janet, Zach.
Nancy, yeah, hold on a second. Campbell, you'll note that the audit material that you sent out to the committee referenced the AI CPA auditor's kit that I sent out to people. So that kit recommends that the audit committee, when they go over the management letter, meet without management on the line. The auditor said he's of two minds on that. Usually he splits the meetings into two pieces where management is present and then they are not, then they get off and they're not present. And the reason for that is basically so that the auditor feels comfortable, you know, making any comments about management that, you know, in the management letter are in the discussion.
Sure.
Okay, William, I just wanted to say that. Okay, William, you've got the floor.
Okay, I just agree with the concerns, especially the way Lawrence phrased them, that we should get it first or at the same time. And I have two more things.
Fred, you mentioned that we're going to go into executive session and you're going to tell us something about CTB.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. There are only certain criteria that are discussable in executive session, that a couple of them are personnel issues of an individual nature about an individual person, and contracts. And maybe there's something else that I'm forgetting, but I don't think funding from CPB is one of them.
Competitive issues are the third.
Thank you, Campbell.
Sensitive confidential information.
Whether we get funding is sensitive confidential information. That's something everybody should know. If Pacifica isn't competent enough to qualify for CPB money, everybody should know that. If that's the kind of thing you're going to say. If it's just going to be that it's late, that's fine, too. If it's going to be later, I should say. But that's open session material. That's my opinion, anyway. And then my last issue is, when are we going to start talking about the auditor for the next year? Because the fiscal year is over, and we're in a new year. We need somebody to audit the year that just ended. And we don't want to start 4 months late, like often we do.
Okay. Thank you, William. Janet?
Yes, I just wanted to, you had mentioned, Fred, that you were going to communicate to the auditor that we want a draft, and I just want to emphasize that we want the same draft that he provides to staff.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to get on the stack at this point that hasn't spoken?
I haven't spoken, but I want to make sure known that I'm here. Frank Lefevre. I checked in a little bit late.
Thank you for letting us know, Frank. I appreciate that. In any case, William, you are quite, I'd like to comment that you are quite correct that one of our more important functions is when we do have an auditor is to recommend where to retain that audit for the next year or not. In fact, the main function of the audit committee is to select an audit firm, which we did last year. And so I think we need to start the process of the discussion of how we're going to decide on our recommendation to the board of directors on retention or replacement of the audit firm. And maybe that we can do that in the open session tonight. Is there anybody else that wants to discuss this?
Campbell,
this
first.
Okay, I'm putting you on the stack, Campbell. Campbell, you've got the floor.
Okay. In regard to the consideration for the future, I am of an opinion that we should perhaps engage develop a criteria for the next audit and to assess the current audit that auditor and his performance or their performance on this audit. That I think would be rather important. I will say that I had certainly raised an eyebrow with regard to some things that have taken place thus far. And I think that maybe it would be useful for us to develop a criteria. Perhaps, I don't know what I can't recall right offhand what criteria there had been on the prior one, but I do know that, we had an opportunity to review, or rather the committee had an opportunity, and I was asked to review the proposals that were submitted. But I think that, you know, it would be a good thing for us to look at it, having had experience with this firm for 1 year, as to whether we would like to engage them for the next year.
Okay, Campbell, thank you. I think this is starting to, the discussion, this is starting to point the discussion at, you know, how we determine, you know, to make our recommendation on the audit firm for next year. And I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how to lead this committee at this point, and, you know, in what direction we want to go. There's not a whole lot of material for us to go over tonight, and that's unfortunate.
Nancy Hinchel to staff.
Okay, Nancy, you have the floor.
All right, you know, I was for me, my understanding of this is that the audit committee is supposed to get things ready and make our approval process for the PCB. I'm not even know what I'm thinking about. Federal funding. Did that happen? I mean, we had to send the audit back, I think, because the correct forms weren't filled out for our national funding. And state funding, I guess.
Well, the essential, who's that? Somebody tried to speak there to be on the stack. To answer you, Nancy, the responsibility of the audit committee is to make sure that the audit gets done.
But it doesn't do us any good unless we can use it for funding. Right.
Well, the requirements of for CPB grants are that there be a yearly audit. That's the main driving force behind getting a yearly audit. Besides the state of California's requirements that nonprofit corporations of a certain size have a yearly audit, we exceed the size limit for nonprofits. So we. Your smaller nonprofits only have to have an audit every 3 years, but I forget what the limit is, but we by far exceed that. So we are required to have a yearly audit by the state of California. And the CPB, since we are a grantee of the CPB, we are required to have a yearly audit also for them. So that's a hard requirement.
But any audit firm needs to know that we use the audit for funding, and if it's not usable in the form we receive it, then it doesn't do us any good. I mean, other than
right.
Well, I mean, really, in the whole, it doesn't do it.
Well, since I was the chair of the hello, who's that?
Lawrence to the fact.
Campbell.
Hey,
hold on.
I'm sorry. Who's the other person besides Lawrence?
Campbell.
Oh, Campbell. Since I was the chair of the audit committee last year when we did the audit firm search, I actually wrote up the RFP for that, and one of the key requirements of the RFP is that the audit firm must have experience with generating audits to the standards of the CPB. And Besides requiring an audit of Pacifica, also requires that Pacifica file a yearly set of AFRs. That stands for Annual Financial Report. I'm not sure if the AFRs have to be just for Pacifica or for each of the five stations within Pacifica. But those are the two pieces of paperwork that the CPB requires for us to get our grant money. Okay, Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you. I didn't know if I was muted or not. Am I? Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, thank you. This might be unrelated to what we're discussing right now. It seems like we're getting into the criteria in regards to, you know, how we pick an auditor. And just for Nancy's edification, you know, we did vote in regards to that audit and regards to the CPB relationship to that audit, I think a couple of months ago. Now, Chair, I believe that part of the function of this committee as well is to select and vote for people to be on the National Finance Committee. And I don't know if we've ever done that. Have we even considered it?
Lawrence, you're actually mistaken. If you look in the bylaws, the National Finance Committee is made up of ten people, one director from each station, and the treasurer from each station. So I believe each station has two people on the National Finance Committee, the treasurer, so the LSB select the treasurer, the local treasurer, who then serves on the National Finance Committee, and the P&B selects which of the directors from the stations will serve on the National Finance Committee. That's the way I understand it works.
Okay, so just real quick, is it a task force that members of the audit committee? Because I remember at the beginning when we first convened, there was talk about that. That's why I'm bringing that up now. Was there a financial task force or something?
I think you're probably thinking about the FRAT committee, which is the Financial Recovery Committee. And that was that's a P&B committee that was by invitation only. In any case, did I hear Janet? I heard a woman's voice.
That's scary.
Okay, Campbell, you have the floor.
Not Janet, no.
Margie
would like the floor.
Okay, Margie, you're a director. Why don't you go before Campbell, and I'll give Campbell the floor next.
Okay, so I just wanted to say that I think it was our last meeting, very recently, the P&B voted to disband the FRAT, so it no longer exists.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Margie. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, those minutes haven't been published yet, but they'll get out there eventually.
Things do take their time at Pacifica. Campbell, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. You are exactly right, Fred, in regard to how the Finance Committee is populated. And, you know, that is specified in the bylaws. And the FRAT, I'd served on that, I guess, two times, was for the particular focus on implementing the recommendations from the management letter. And that's where the and I haven't heard anything about what's taken place in regard to the recovery plan the financial recovery plan that had been passed by the P&B previously as a result of the work with the FRAT and the ED at the time. And so I think that it would be a good idea for us to have some feedback on that, and written feedback. I mean, I don't want to get another oral testament about what's taken place, but I think it would be good, and I believe I included the financial recovery plan in the information that I sent out previously to the audit committee. But the last point that I was going to make, what is that? Oh, goodness, it's escaping me right now. I'll bring it up later.
You're having a senior moment, as they say.
I am not buying that. I'd have to be your age to have a senior moment.
Do I sound that old? Okay, Campbell. I guess I should say a few words because, as chair of the audit committee,
last point, Fred. The last point was this: that we do have a particular concern in regard to the report that's given to CPB because we ran into problems before, and our funding was cut by them because of how the premiums were valued. That was an issue that they had, and it seems jumped on us such that the total adjustment was made in 1 year rather than and it was a significant adjustment, and it should have been something that we could have negotiated, I would have thought, to be adjusted over several years. So that's the thing, how premiums are valued.
Well, let me provide a little information on that. The CPB did fine us because of the way we were valuing premiums, but the fine was spread over 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And to my understanding, the document that I read says that it was spread over 3 years, and our CFO this year has also changed the way that I believe he calculates income, such that he's now deleting the premium costs from the income in our financial reports, just because of the issue with the CPB. But also to be truthful, the Pacifica is not the only community radio station or network that has been hit with these CPB fines. Other stations have been hit with fines for not calculating income correctly. And I know one station here in Los Angeles was hit with $250,000 fine for that, I believe, in that area. So I hope that this information is useful to people. I wanted to say something about the FRAD committee. I as chair of the audit committee, I was invited to the last two meetings of the FRAD before it was dissolved. And, frankly, I didn't find it all that, I didn't participate in the first meeting at all. And I didn't find it that useful. Obviously, the directors were divided in what direction they actually wanted to go.
Chair, point of order.
Oh, go ahead. Is this is this Brenda?
Yeah, this is Brenda. When did you say? Can you clarify when the FRAT resumed meeting, and why was the committee not notified of these?
I received a very brief notice about a day before the meeting. And by the way, the KPFK treasurer, Michael Novick, was also invited and was present at that meeting. It seemed to me fairly disorganized, that the first meeting I attended, and I really didn't have the experiential background to deal with it. The only thing I can say about the financial recovery plan that was published by the FRAT is it's not your classic business school type of financial recovery plan. That's my opinion of it. And I didn't add or get much out of that, of the two meetings I attended. And then obviously the directors have decided that the reason for the existence of the FRAT committee is now passed. Whatever, I have no say in that.
And can you mention who else from the audit committee was part of that of the last two FRAT meetings? Because that was never notified to the rest of the audit.
I think there was about 10 people there. Carolyn Burden has been a member of the FRAT committee, I think, a couple of years. That was my first meeting. First and almost last meeting of the FRAT. I think the chair of the FRAT committee is the current secretary of the PNB, not Frank Lefebvre.
Richard
I think
Gisele.
Richard Gisele. I don't remember all the people that were there. Frankly, this is sort of a trying to remember from memory what, you know, took place about, you know, 2 months and 1 month ago. It's kind of hard. And I'm the second meeting was more important than
that. Once you're done with your report, Chair.
Sure, I'll put you on the stack. The more important meeting was the second frat meeting, where the first meeting there was no management present. The second meeting, both the CFO and the ED were present and spoke and said some things of where they'd like to see the how they'd like to see both the finance committee and the audit committee, some tasks that they'd like them to take over. But obviously, none of that has gone anyplace. Brenda, you have the floor.
Okay. I'm very concerned that the frat met and there was no open process of the secret committee when we had previously discussed during the audit committee meeting on OpenStream that we would have some type of election process or for the frat. So I find that very concerning that the frat, although now dissolved, did meet for 2 months, and this is the first time that I'm hearing about it. And I've been pretty consistent in attending the audit committee meetings. So I feel that that's a lack of leadership on the chair's behalf and also on Director Burden's behalf of not letting us know that you all were meeting or even having the sense of a report out for the committees that you all are you're representing, which is the audit committee.
That's Campbell for a stack.
Okay, Campbell, I think I let people get ahead of you. You have the floor.
Okay. I think that something to keep in mind, Ken Aaron was the former chair of the frat, and all of the meetings that it had were confidential, even though I objected to that on several occasions. But there were several things that the frat was engaged in dealing with. One was a personnel manual. In addition to the financial recovery plan. And I do agree with you absolutely, Fred, that the financial recovery plan was a bit squishy. And that's a technical term. but the thing that at least it gave some sense of direction, some sense of planning, and while Pacifica has called itself putting together strategic plans in the past, none of these were really serious. I would say also that the change in apparent membership or leadership of it, I don't know who continued on it or if Ken Aaron was still.
Your voice is breaking up, Campbell. Hello? Did we lose Campbell?
Seems like we lost him, yeah.
Okay, well, he'll call back, I'm sure. I'd like to respond to Brenda. I think by its very nature, the Financial Recovery Committee was dealing with some very sensitive information, and talking about that in public, I think really is out of bounds. Because some of that stuff was very speculative and tentative, and you really don't want to let that kind of stuff. We have this hypersensitivity to, you know, being open in public, and that's some of that's required by the CPB requirements for our grants, but we can't do that all the time.
Chair, if I can respond after you.
So, why don't you go ahead? I'm
sorry, I dropped off.
Oh, hold on. I said, Campbell, why don't you continue, and then I'll let Brenda have the floor.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there may have been a change in the leadership or a significant change in composition of the frat, such that you know, there wasn't a continuity that would be needed for it to have you know, positive direction. The two things I identified were, and I hope that they were heard, the financial recovery plan and the personnel manual were the main outputs from it. And I, you know, so I think that I don't know what's happened with either of them at all since I've not been on the board this year, but the or on the frat. And so, you know, I don't know what the agenda for the committee would have been. So I just wanted to share that with the committee.
Thank you, Campbell. Brenda, you have the floor.
Okay. So that's one of the reasons why we have executive session for these committees. If there was such sensitive personnel or speculative information, then there could have been a reason for you as the audit committee chair to call for an executive session for X, Y, and Z reason. The other thing is that there's been no report out, and I would expect to have seen an executive session report out from the frat committee, which, again, I never received. So I find this very concerning. I'm glad that the frat has been dissolved because it's covering ground that is not even related to finance or to audit, because a personnel handbook has nothing to do with finance or auditing the foundation. So it was going outside of the scope of what its intention was. So I'm very disappointed in you, Fred, for not taking that upon yourself to inform other members of the committee.
Well, you can criticize me. By the way, William,
Lawrence, back.
I've got you, Lawrence. William, your request to be on the frat committee, I forwarded to the committee, but the leadership of the committee then decided to not add any more members to it at that point, at the time that I was invited. I think also the chair of the finance committee was present on the frat at those two meetings. That's about all I can really tell you or remember about the frat. Lawrence, you have the floor.
Yeah, just following up on Brenda, I don't want to criticize you, Fred, but this committee was like skull and bones. I mean, from the time of its inception to the person that led it, without saying any names, you know, definitely had a secret agenda in regards to this. And the fact that there's no information, I don't know whether it got shredded or they went to their cabin and burned it. I don't know. But, this is really beyond the pale. And to not inform us after we had initially brought it up when we first convened this committee, after that, even before we voted for a chair. So I'm hoping that, along what I would like to request of you, Fred, if it's not too much of a burden, for you to get us some information in regards to the work or the product that the frat produced. I know Campbell has sent out a recovery plan some months ago, and I'm sure I just got to, go through my emails to find it. But any other information before it dissolved, and why it was dissolved? Was it because the directors finally woke up and said, this committee is out of control? It's like skull and bones and Bush and Kerry all over again. I mean, it's just ridiculous for no information to be out there in regards to all of the secret meetings. I think this committee always met in executive session. I don't think they ever even had an open meeting. So, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Campbell could chime in on that. But the fact that people had to be selected, you know, to be on that committee is also very perplexing. And this is why, you know, Pacifica, you know, when there's a certain majority, you know, they engage in this secret behavior. And then, you know, the thing about children, they're always going to get caught with their hands in the cookie jar. So eventually, you know, I think not done trying to say this is a gotcha moment, but the fact is that...
Well,
I think
point of information,
let me finish. You know, I think I need 10 seconds to finish. So in regards to, it's a reasonable request to obtain some of the information that was secretly produced. Thank you.
Margie for the...
Campbell for
back.
Stat.
Margie, go ahead.
Okay.
Campbell
let me just
also.
Say, let me say, there in fact was very little discussion at the PMB when we voted to dissolve the frat. A motion had been made several months ago to dissolve the frat, and it was defeated. This time, a member of the frat, Richard Uzel, made the motion, and we voted to do it. I think that part of it had to do with the fact that the CPB was concerned about open meetings, that that there were too many meetings that weren't public meetings, too many times where we engaged in executive meetings. Whoever said that the frat met only in executive session is exactly right. It only met in executive session. It did produce a draft personnel handbook, which was brought to the PMB, and you all should have received copies of it because it was forwarded. I believe this is what happened, that it was forwarded by the IED to the GMs, and the GMs were asked to share it with members of the LSC and with staff members at each station to provide them an opportunity for feedback. The personnel handbook, in my opinion, was very wanting. It was it wasn't particularly useful. But in any case, it is still out there. It hasn't been brought back to the PMB yet. That's the situation. And so in terms of the product is available. Anybody can see it. I'm not exactly sure where it's available, but if any of you haven't seen it, you should check with your GMs or members of the PMB from your local station, because that information was to be widely distributed so that people in Pacifica would have an opportunity to comment on it before the PMB adopted the personal handbook. And let me just say that, you know, I don't think it should be surprising to anybody that the PMB has been dealing with all kinds of other issues and that there hasn't really been an opportunity for us to go back and look at the handbook because of the, we've sort of been functioning at crisis mode for a long time.
Thank you, Margie. I've got you, Campbell. I just wanted to say something. Margie, I do remember getting the personnel handbook, and I frankly haven't had the time to go over it.
Good.
And can you send it to us, Fred?
If I can find it, I know I have it someplace.
I can forward it to this committee. I'm happy to do that. I'll do that. I'll
Thank
forward
you,
it to the audit list. Okay. All right.
And I'd just like to comment, Lawrence, that there's lots of things I don't know about the frat. I didn't even know until Margie told me that it had been disbanded. So there's lots of information I don't have. I'm not the best person to write a report on that. The directors know much more about it than I do. Campbell, you have the floor.
Sure. I tell you, I was totally underwhelmed by the personnel handbook that I received. What we had received, I think, came from one of the companies, HR companies, that was supposed to be doing some pro bono work for us, and it looked like something that was off of a shelf. I mean, it didn't even engage. You know, they could have done a find and replace to include the word Pacifica in there somewhere. You know, it was just straight up off of a shelf. And I made some suggestions in regard to it, but I was not going to rewrite this entire thing. I believe that Bruce Wolf had made some recommendations in regard to it also, as to whether these ended up in the whatever was forwarded to whomever, I don't know. And I don't know or believe necessarily. It certainly wasn't passed by the PMB when I served on it, and my term ended this earlier this year. But that, you know, as to what the value of that was, I don't know, and someone will have to follow the process subsequently. What I would be pleased to do, because I, as I indicated, was against the way in which it was always held in executive session. In fact, at one point, I know that Dan Siegel was, they tried to vote for exclusion of Dan from a meeting or two because of some purported infraction of confidentiality. And, you know, I was in a minority vote. Okay, it was frequently all, and I was the one opposing vote. But I'd be pleased to share with the committee, if the chair and committee feel that they would like it, you know, the information that I may have on my computer from the FRAD. I don't think that there was anything particularly mind manifesting, although there was some useful information that the FRAD was involved in engaging. So just let me know, you know, what you'd like me to do on that.
Okay, thank you, Campbell.
Sure.
I'm not sure where this discussion is going at this point. It seems like we're covering material that people had on the, you know, on the top of their heads for a while and been wanting to talk about. Is there anybody who would like to jump into this discussion?
Yeah, William for the stack.
Okay, William, go ahead.
I'd just like to add my memory of the creation and existence of the FRAT. Over 2 years ago, when we got our first going concern alert, that was the impetus for the FRAT. Then the next year, the auditor continued the going concern alert because whatever the FRAT had produced didn't satisfy his estimation of what Pacifica could have been doing to raise funds and get us out of the problems we were in, or to change the balance sheet is actually what was needed to improve the balance sheet. So I was sort of sad that we switched auditors because he was on the right track keeping after them. But we have the new auditor, and he, hopefully we'll find out next meeting some more of his thinking on what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, William.
Mr. Campbell for the stack.
You have the floor, Campbell.
Okay, thank you. One thing that I did feel was useful, and I had come up with this idea and presented it to the FRAD and had tried to get the board to support it and go forward with it, was the notion of asking Amy Goodman to consider our indebtedness to Democracy Now as not a current indebtedness, current liability, but to stretch it out over several years. And what had taken place was that presumably our IED was supposed to go in and have a discussion with her in regard to that. I had outlined how the negotiation could take place and the mutual benefit, et cetera, to each of the parties and everything. But what occurred was that nothing was accomplished except that Amy said that she would do a fundraiser in regard to having something at Busboys and Poets as part of the inauguration, which would have done nothing to change the look of our balance sheet during the operative time. But that was something that I had proposed for the foundation to get us out of that going concern alert. I'll share that gladly with the committee as well. And I hope everybody knows that the only reason we don't have a going concern alert now is not because our balance sheet's looking any better, not because our performance has been any better, but it's just because we were so late in getting the audit undertaken that there was not going to be the likelihood of any suit against Pacifica for its indebtedness before the audit was completed, before the end of the fiscal year.
On procedure, this is Margie.
Thank you, Margie. I'd just like to say something. Campbell is treading on very sensitive ground there because what you were saying was all hypothetical, I hope. We're not supposed to be talking about personnel issues or contractors or consultants in public. And all that was hypothetical about the program you were talking about. Margie, go ahead.
Okay. I don't see that there's much further productive discussion that's going to happen here at this point, and would like to suggest that if we're going to go into executive session, we should do it now and hear Fred's report from his conversations with the auditor and then adjourn for the evening.
I second the motion.
We don't need a second. Is there any objection to doing that?
I object for one simple reason, because I wouldn't want to adjourn immediately after executive session without a report out from this committee in regards to the executive session.
I totally agree with you. Once we've determined, we will adjourn after we've determined what the report out will be. I completely agree with that.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Okay.
William has a concern. I'm repeating my concern that if it's not the two things that I mentioned and the one that Campbell mentioned, if it's not about individual personnel, if it's not about a contract, and if it's not about something that would be competitive for Pacifica, it should not be an executive session. So if you think it's going to meet those criteria, fine. If not, I object to the whole concept of going to executive session.
Or lawsuits, I suppose. That's also an issue. You can't.
Let me just say that there is, according to a discussion that we had at the PMB, that there is one other criteria, and that is information that was provided in confidence. And I'm willing to assume that whatever the auditor said to Fred was information that was provided in confidence.
Thank you, Margie. We can do this. We can report back to the public by bringing live stream back at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. I can call Otis back and have us put us back on the live stream afterwards, like we did the last time when we interviewed the auditor.
This is Janet. So are you saying that this will take more than a half an hour, the executive session?
I would think it would take less than a half hour, depending on what people want to discuss.
So 7:30 is 40 minutes away.
Yeah, I mean, I could arrange with Otis to come back on the line and make a report back at 8 o'clock our time. That would be an hour and 8 minutes.
That seems like too much time.
I don't think this is going to take more than 30 minutes.
Okay. I'm all for saving time.
I'm sorry.
It's Nancy Henshaw. I'm all for saving time.
Okay, so am I. So is there any objection to us going into executive session now?
I think we should say we'll come back as soon as we're done, maybe as early as 10:15 Eastern Time, 7:15 California Time, or maybe later.
Thank you, William. This is going to end up as a audio... The report back will end up as an audio file, in the archive, so people really don't need a time certain. Thank you.
It will also be reported in the minutes. Okay.
Thank you. So, not hearing any objections, we are going to executive session. Otis, could you take us off the live stream?
He said he would be there.
Welcome back, dear listeners of the Pacifica Audit Committee for October 22nd, 2013. This is a report back from our executive session that just ended a few minutes ago. The committee discussed the current audit and some questions of our members have regarding our financial practices and the need for additional information and clarification from our staff and the auditor. There are some issues around the completion of the 2012 audit and thus the distribution of the CPB grant money. The committee is requesting and awaiting more details and documentation on these matters from the auditor and Pacifica management. That's it. Thank you for listening to the Pacifica Audit Committee.